You are listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and in this episode, we will be continuing our discussion of Celebrate Christmas, a special Messenger Insight edition of the Baptist Messenger, published December 15th, 2011. For this edition, I'm pleased to tell you we have a special guest, Dr. Richard R. Melick, Jr., who is Director of the Academic Graduate Studies Program and Professor of New Testament Studies at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Melick, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be with you.
Now, you wrote a superb piece in my mind that focuses on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And you start out by this fascinating statement, "The biblical writers care little about Jesus' boyhood, family, shaping influences, or personality. They care greatly about his origin." What did you mean by that? And could you unpack that a little bit?
Yes, the key, of course, is the contrast between the Jesus, the boy Jesus, and the birth of Jesus. When you look at the biblical text, and Matthew and Luke are the two who really describe Jesus' early years, his birth and early years in Luke's case, they don't tell us a lot we would like to know. You know, we know about him at age 12 when he went to the temple.
Yes.
And dialogued with the rabbis. But we don't know anything else until he was 30 years old. And therefore, we have to assume that those years, while obviously significant, were not of as much interest as the virgin birth was. And that, of course, the virgin birth conception is probably what we ought to think about more, is essential to having Jesus as the God-man.
Very good. Now, could you talk for a moment about the theological significance of the virgin birth or conception, as you called it?
Well, yes. I think there are serious theological implications. But, of course, what it does mean for us is that we are seeing the birth of the God-man, not the man who became God or one who earned his godness, but God become flesh. Now, for Jesus to be perfect, that is, without sin, the virgin birth was an essential aspect. The Jewish people believed that the sin nature was transmitted by the Father through Adam and his offspring. And the theologians through the centuries have said that the virgin birth was essential as an explanation of Jesus' own sinlessness, therefore not being born in sin as the rest of us were. So that's one aspect. Perhaps the other is just the magnificence of the fact that God was entering history in a very specific way, and it involved a supernatural presence that culminated in the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. The two go together, the resurrection and the virgin birth indicating his deity. And so from one perspective, this was a time when God, if we can use human terms, was excited over an event that he was actually taking on flesh in order to redeem us.
Amen. And I like how your piece also underscored the prophetic and scriptural significance of this fulfilled promise.
Yes, of course, that's what Matthew and Luke both do. They fill their story, the story, with Old Testament texts. And in particular, I don't know if you're talking about the focus on Isaiah 7:14 or other places that we can talk about, but they very clearly looked for evidences that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah. It's without doubt that the Jewish nation was looking ahead to a time when God would send his deliverer, and for Jesus to qualify as that, he had to be consistent with the prophetic stream of thought, the messianic stream of the Old Testament.
You hit the nail on the head with that statement and this other that I'm about to read, wherein you say, "Skeptics sometimes suggest Christianity would fare better without the virgin birth, yet those who witnessed Jesus' life and resurrection knew its central place." And what I love about that is you underscore its importance apologetically and practically.
Yes. You know, the more you study it and the more you talk with people about the virgin birth of Jesus, if they're seriously talking about it, not just reciting a Christmas story from somewhere in their past, it becomes one of the biggest obstacles, humanly speaking, to accepting Christianity, that there was actually a virgin birth. So as the apostles went forth and spread the message, it would make sense not to major on that, but rather to kind of hide it under the covers until a time came when they had to deal with it, because it would bring ridicule then as it does now. But the point is, they not only proclaimed it and believed it, but they thought it was central, and you could not be an Orthodox Christian without acknowledging and accepting the virgin conception and birth of Jesus.
That's right. And one particularly notorious popular author, Rob Bell, has talked about not doubting the virgin birth, but maybe its significance to the faith. And in your piece, you did an excellent job hitting it home why it is essential. It is an essential Christian doctrine. And you ended on what I thought was a high note about the mystery and how it captures our imagination with the incarnation. And though we cannot fully comprehend all that God did, we can lay hold of it and worship Him. And I just want to thank you for the excellent piece. We've been talking to Dr. Richard Mellick, who is Professor of New Testament Studies at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Mellick, thank you for your writing and for coming on Messenger Insight.
My privilege, Brian, and thank you for doing this series in The Messenger. It should be very, very helpful.
Well, blessings to you and Merry Christmas.
Same to you. May it be blessed.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program in the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, visit BaptistMessenger.com or find us in the iTunes Store.